In true high school form, I'd have to thank Sam for putting together the lovely presentation. As a true high school group, you know, we just all hovered about, found the hard worker, and let him go to his business and failed to do our homework.
And they paid me not to talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Got his lunch money, in fact. At our point, we started and we reflected on the process as a sort of a double dynamic, a dynamic of knowledge and a dynamic of relationship building. The knowledge, we all came to this and did a little bit of our own work, familiarized ourselves with who we would be meeting, familiarized ourselves with the theme, did a little bit of reading. Then we came together as pairs and as pods. We started the knowledge gathering. We started sharing. We started comparing. And along the way, through the conversations, the discussions, the reflection set in, and the sort of higher level learning occurred. On the other hand, probably the deepest experience is the team building. First ingredient of that team building is the trust that quickly developed because of our shared purpose, I suppose, good sense of humor, particularly on the part of our British colleagues, and the risk-taking. And as any of you can imagine, you know, wandering through three big comprehensive high schools on any given day, I think at moments, the three of us as hosts definitely felt it's a little risk-taking. At any moment, anything very exciting could happen. And unfortunately, it didn't. But truly, the deepest experience, I think, is that sense of team. We'll share our reflections one at a time. The framework is the inspiration, the challenge, and the motivation from a perspective of ourselves, our colleagues, and with the high school vision, our students, because that's ever present in the whole learning situation from the high school perspective. So each of the British partners will share one of the themes. Gina will start with inspiration, followed by Graham, exploring and reflecting on challenge, and Paul doing the motivational finale.
We looked at the it's here, in a black jacket. We looked at the inspiration, and we're looking at, as leaders, all of us, what we do, what makes a difference. And we're looking at it the perspective of leaders, what we do within our schools. Looking through ourselves, first of all, I mean, what gets us out of bed in the mornings? Why do we get out of bed? Why do we go into our schools? We know it's certainly not for the money. That's one thing we do know. So looking at what inspires us, what gets us out of bed? The main thing that gets us out is that we care. We know that we can make a difference. We know that what we do day to day in those schools does make a difference. We have a strong commitment to the children and to the community, and that's what gets us up every day. And we have very high personal standards. We all set ourselves. As a group of colleagues here, I was very impressed and very pleased to see that they had the high expectations, the high inspirations that I myself have, more so in some cases. So that's what inspires us. That's what gets us out of bed. How do we inspire our colleagues? We're going to work. What do we do to inspire them so they too can pass on? We inspire our colleagues by our own example, by what we do. We have a vision and we communicate that vision. We show them what we think, what we believe in, what we trust in. And we do that with our example. We turn up every day. We look the part, we dress the part, we walk the talk. We don't just turn up tied away in our offices. We get out there. We inspire those people we're working with. And we build trust with them. We allow our colleagues, or not allow, we get our colleagues to take risks, to take challenges. We open doors for them. We watch them walk through, and we're there for them. That's the inspiration that we give our colleagues. And with our students, we have to inspire them as leaders. What do we do to inspire them? It's not all down to our colleagues to do that. What do we do as leaders? And I've been hugely impressed in the schools I've been visiting, in Paula's and in Sam's. Did you miss that?
Yeah.
And in Patty's. in that with the students, they're out there, they're on the floor every single day. They interact with the students, they speak to them, they set their good example. They really do have relationships with their students, which is something I've learned from. And the responsibility that they allow those students to take, that they give those students, that they empower them, makes such a difference. I've seen student councils, I've seen leadership teams, I've seen these pupils inspired by the very presence of the head teachers or principals in among them. That's what we do, that's the difference we make in inspiring throughout our hierarchy.
Thank you. It's my job to talk about challenge, and in terms of the challenge for ourselves as educational leaders, one of the things we identified was that we challenge ourselves to step outside our comfort zone, that area of our performance where we are comfortable. We need to take that extra step into areas which will help to move our schools forward. That might be in many, many different ways. It might be by being brave enough to stand up and address the underperformance of a teacher. Not an easy thing to have to do. It might be by encouraging some of our colleagues, some of our teachers, to take a risk, as has been mentioned. And that risk can be in all sorts of ways and can lead to really exciting developments in our schools and in our curriculums. And we've been privileged this week to look at the Phoenix programme, the Visions programme, the development of the middle school in the three schools that we have been to. And in each of those cases, it's clear that the principals have encouraged and challenged their staff to take that extra step, to take that risk outside their comfort zone. A second aspect of challenge for ourselves is really the challenge of making the very most of what resources we have. There's never enough money, we all know that. No matter what our school budget is, we always want more to help our schools move forward. But as well as the financial challenge, there is the challenge of making the most of human resources. And again, we've seen many examples this week of the way in which the principals of the high schools are developing, challenging their staff to move forward in their own personal development and helping to produce the master teachers and the principals of the future. Another area of challenge we thought, and possibly more so in your system than in ours, is one of working the system, whatever that system is, to the benefits of your school. And that working that system might be the need to make yourself aware of what grants and programs are available for your students and making those applications. It might also be about working the system in order to appoint the person you want to appoint, the right person for the post in your school, which sometimes the systems mitigate against. An area which we have described as lack of autonomy, which is interesting because autonomy has come up on several other presentations today. But I guess wherever you are in the system, whether you're a principal, a head teacher, a school board administrator, you personally want more autonomy, and you could feel you could do a better job with more autonomy. We have felt at times when we have been in discussions with our colleague principals that they are in a position, illustrated earlier by perhaps the talk about getting some things in your buildings fixed, where they don't have the autonomy that we have. And I guess the challenge for school board administrators and commissioners is to find ways of further empowering your principals, because they are empowered, but further empowering your principals to enable them to respond to the needs of their school, because I think we firmly believe that nobody knows the needs of a school like the principal or head teacher. And to do so, not only find ways of empowering them, but also to do so in ways which maintain the many, many positive aspects of being part of a school board. So that was challenging ourselves. As for challenging our colleagues, we try and do that by setting high standards, by making clear our expectations, by sharing data, and perhaps that latter one is something that we have more experience of in Britain than you do in Canada. But we've seen so many examples as we have gone around the high schools of all of these things. We've seen displays which make clear expectations. We have seen wonderful areas of schools devoted to celebrating success. And all of that is about making clear the expectations of colleagues as well as for students. As far as data is concerned, our performance management systems and our tracking, target setting and tracking of pupils is perhaps rather different than what happens here in Canada. But we're able to present our teachers with data about the performance of their students, and that can be one way in which we then ask them to step up their performance and to challenge them. And finally, to look at the challenge we set our students. It is very much in the same way, by setting high standards in the UK, by setting challenging academic targets, challenging courses. We've seen so many examples of that here in Canada, courses to do with leadership, maths, killer maths in Patty School. I don't know if every school does killer maths. It sounds a bit strong. But they also, and I guess all of the schools, elementary as well as high schools, challenge students to take responsibility. And this is a really strong area of your schools. We've seen students taking responsibility for producing the yearbook, for organising the school prom, graduation, school's spirit activities, social events, peer tutoring. Now, we have some aspects of that in our system, but it's just so much more strongly developed here in Canada. And also, of course, at student level, the challenge of the new curriculum, which looks very interesting and is fascinating from our point of view, that it already accepts and builds on the model of multiple intelligences, something that we haven't done in curriculum models in secondary schools in England yet. Thank you.
Okay, well, I'd like to start off by saying a very big thank you to Paula, Patty and Sam, to also to their schools, LaSalle Community High, Riverdale High and Chateauguay Valley Regional High School, because they have been such really fantastic hosts for us. And really, that's where the motivation is coming from, isn't it? First of all, I'm looking at the way that we motivate ourselves, because that motivation is the key to any head teacher or principal's success. There is a common thread, we've discovered, between all of the heads and principals in our pod. I suppose it comes down to basically striving to make our schools better places wherever the starting point is. And I think all of us, if we were doing a reciprocal visit, we would be wanting to say, well, we don't have the ideal resources here. We would like the ideal resources. If there was more money, we'd be able to do X, Y, and Z. My feeling is that the resource level in Canada and in Britain is roughly comparable. There are some issues, undoubtedly, over premises, which really do need to be addressed in some of the schools. However, nevertheless, roughly comparable. Having said that, staffing ratios do appear to be slightly more favourable in Canada. How do we motivate ourselves? Well, we're making our schools better places, but we as head teachers and principals also need recognition of what we do. We get this by parents choosing our schools for their children. It's a process that we have, is very much in the forefront of our minds because of competition for places, especially in the English system. But I saw evidence at LaSalle High, for instance, where there was great loyalty coming from parents towards Paula as principal. And the warm support also, which has been given by the boards for all three of the principals. I was talking with Scott and some members of the boards over the last few days, and all of the people I've spoken to have described all three, Paula, Patty and Sam, as inspirational leaders. I hope that that is communicated to you on a regular basis, because we need that kind of recognition for what we do. How do we motivate colleagues? Well, largely, I think, by celebrating their commitment, their expertise and their success. I've seen it in all schools on the visit, and we all have, on all the schools. At Chateauguay, Patty invited in several of her colleagues to come in and sit around a table with us and to share the experience of meeting principals from another land. At some point afterwards, I said, oh, that's a jolly good thing to do. It's nice for them, isn't it? After that, Patty said, well, I'm doing this. I did that more for my staff than I did for you. And that's good motivation, isn't it? Paula, equally, has said on more than one occasion that when a member of staff or a colleague comes into her office and says, I've got an idea, Paula, I wonder if I could run with it, she said on several occasions, I won't say no. I won't say no. That's good motivation. We have to also create leadership opportunities for our staff and our colleagues. And I saw that in various sections of all three schools, particularly in Sam's school, I think, was really quite noticeable. We motivate our students by creating the best possible learning environment for them. And I know there are limitations, as I've said. We have some common barriers across the water in systems and also, as I say, in premises. We have to recognise the talents and strengths of all abilities and all aptitudes. And we've seen a lot of examples of that right throughout the system, especially for children with quite what in English terms would be described as quite severe special needs. And those youngsters are being nurtured and cared for in a way which is inspirational for us. But that motivates those youngsters. It brings them into the system. We need to find a way to encourage all students, all children, to feel a sense of purpose and of belonging to our schools. And I think that individual relationship between the principals and in particular, I would say, some of the disaffected students has been really striking from an English perspective. Really striking. And the underlying word which sums all of this up to me is respect. I think it's something which you are fortunate to have within general society. Rather more respect, I suspect, than you might find if you come over in a reciprocal arrangement to England. But it's very striking. There's a cultural difference between the two systems. But the respect goes in all directions, between principals and staff and students, and between students as well. You may not see it, you may not think you see it in your own schools, but of course, looking from an outside perspective has been very helpful for us. I can finish with a short story, really, which highlights how not to do the motivation. And I think it's one that it is a true story, and it's based on the English system, so nobody from Canada need feel uncomfortable at this point. An HMI, Her Majesty's Inspector, goes into a primary school, a sort of grade 3, grade 4 lesson. And the teacher, and he's sitting at the back of the room, and the teacher is doing an art class. And what she's doing is using music to inspire the pupils to imagine pictures which they can then paint. And so she puts on the Pastoral Symphony by Beethoven, just a short extract from it. And she tells the class to sit down with their eyes closed and to listen carefully and to see what pictures come into their minds, and then they'll share them as a group, and people can then get on and do some painting based on the Pastoral Symphony. And so the music goes on, and at the end of it, she wakes them up, because the children did nod off, and she says, can anybody tell me what they saw in their mind when they were listening to that music? And there's little Jimmy at the back of the room says, oh, miss, and he puts his hand up. And she says, okay, Jimmy, what did you see? He said, miss, it was really beautiful. I fell asleep watching the sea. I saw the waves breaking. I saw great big white horses leaping over the waves. I saw seagulls circling over the pier, miss. I saw Punch and Judy show on the beach, and everybody was having a lovely time. It was a lovely summer's day, miss. And the teacher said, no. Anyone else? There's been none of that in our visit. It's been a remarkable opportunity for us to see three very fine principals in action in their own environment, making a difference. Thank you.
You're probably wondering why only our friends from the UK had a chance to speak. And that was a conscious decision by all six of us, because we feel that they have something in their minds. They have a reference point that we don't have. So they are in a better position to look, observe, and contrast, a much better position than we are in. It's obvious that their reference point obviously directs their comments, guides their comments and their experience. Our colleagues have that reference point that we can only begin to understand and to imagine based on the fact that we've been allowed such tremendous opportunities to share. And it's that sharing, the trust that we've built with each other, that has really permitted me to sort of imagine what they're talking about, sort of feel what they feel, because I have no reference point. And we would like to thank everyone who made that possible, obviously. And I have to say, we know we talked about risk. Patty mentioned risk before. And for me, I kept thinking, what am I going to show these people? What are they going to see in my school? I was very nervous. I wasn't nervous about the place falling apart, because that's a given. It happens, and it happened, and it's happening right now. You know, we have a real crisis in our hands at the school, and I'm sitting here very calmly, knowing that somebody's taking care of business there, because I trust them. But the risk in opening our doors, knowing that there's scuff marks all over the walls, knowing that, you know, I have kids who have barely anything to eat, knowing that some of my teachers might not be my ideal teachers in my building, what can I possibly show these people? And it was heartfelt for me to feel that they did leave my building with something. And it just, I think for the three of us here, to know that we had something for them, and that it was something that they kept referring to. It didn't seem like it was just polite. It was... It seemed genuine to me, anyway, that they really felt, oh, we had something here. And, you know, that respect, the fact that how we speak to our students, how we acknowledge our teachers' efforts, and how we manage to work in our schools with the limited sorts of resources, let's say, that we manage to create an environment that parents want to send their children back to, and that other teachers want to work in your school, or administrators want to go work in your school. And one of the other things that I'd like to mention is that, yes, I feel we learned a lot about how things work in the UK. Obviously, we have to go there to see for ourselves. But what I got a real kick out of is seeing my colleague Sam going into his school. We sit at meetings every month. But being in his school, observing what's going on in his school, leaving his school and saying to myself, okay, I have to get my alternative school teachers to come here and see this. They need to go to my school to see what's going on in my school. We have a lot of things going here that we need to share amongst ourselves. So even if we don't get to go to England, I will get to go to CBR at least one more time. And Riverdale, you're going to... And, you know, we talk about learning and consolidating the learning. Again, we have made a commitment here that we will stay in contact. We will endeavor to get two teachers from our schools to contact two teachers from each of the schools, and they in turn will get some at least 2 students. We don't want this to become a pressure for us, but we do want to make, you know, take that step, continue the learning, because it's very sad when you spend a lot of money, and there's money and resources and energy and time that was spent for this, and to go back or to just let it die after the energy and the enthusiasm is gone, that sort of is self-defeating. So we make a commitment to, you know, to our boards who supported us, to McGill, who supported us, the British Council, our government, etc. Our commitment as the group is to go back and share that and keep it going as long as possible. Thank you very much.
Can I thank you very much? Can we give a thank you to all the groups? We have hoped that beyond our dreams that it would turn out like this. And we do think we're in the process of creating an international learning community. And what we're hearing is everyone wants to keep it going. And so we'll do everything we can to do that. So thank you so much for these wonderfully inspiring presentations. Oh, and I think another guest just stepped in the room, Leo LaFrance. Leo LaFrance, Director General of Lester B. Pearson School Board. Before our very last word, as we're going to call the last item on the agenda, I would ask Julian Thompson to say a few words.
Thanks very much, Lynn, and thank you everyone for the opportunity to speak. For those of you who don't know me, perhaps one or two colleagues from Quebec, my name's Julian Thompson. I am an ex-principal, head teacher of 2 schools in the UK, and currently I work as the regional director for the National College for School Leadership's Southwest Centre. And the visit and this opportunity has been organised through the British Council by the National College for School Leadership, with the specific intent to create a sustained international learning community of principals and head teachers. And I'm sure you agree with me, what we've heard this morning is a pretty strong indication that that's already underway. So what we want to do is to support and sustain that. There's a number of gurus on leadership who live and work this side of the pond, and one of them, who you will all know of, made the statement that it's about learning, he said, and it's about time. And in the UK, we've been thinking and pondering on that in recent years, and we've had the message that it's actually about leadership too. And the next century, the century that we're in now, is about learning, but it's particularly about leadership and about the quality of leadership. And what we want to do is build that and sustain it together with you. What we've heard this morning is the quality of work that can happen when people come together and our school leaders. They're the special ones. It's not about us, it's not about, you know, we who work beyond and support. It's actually about bringing those people who work in schools together to share their experiences, because they're the people who are working with the students and young people that we need to make the difference for. So what we want to do, as I say, is continue that work. Patty talked about something. I love the way that in Quebec you talk about, you have these kind of really neat phrases. She said, there's a double dynamic. Great. And there's a big double dynamic going on in this opportunity, because it's about learning about how we lead, it's about learning about leadership qualities, but it's really also about learning about how we learn. And what we've seen this morning is the culture that can develop quickly when people who have shared experiences and the empathy that goes with the kind of things that Paula was talking about, learning about their learning. That's the next stage. We want to create something that's greater than the sum of the parts that are going into it. So I just did want to pick up at something that Paula said. You know, she said, we weren't sure that we've got something to offer you. You have got so much to offer us here in Quebec, and we've received some of it this week. We have got something to offer you, and we want the opportunity to do that. And together, what we can make together will be greater and something new for all of us. So I'd like us to think about that, maybe talk about it at lunchtime and take things further. Before we go and do our final piece, I do really want to say thank you to everyone who's been involved in enabling this visit to happen. I want to say thank you to McGill and their innovative approach, which has made it possible, to the British Council, who've supported financially and in terms of coordination, to the school boards, significant factor that they're involved, because the school boards give that kind of structural element, which is really quite new to this kind of learning community. The heads are important, the principals are important, but it's how we can work together with those, that involvement too, and support through the boards and our local education authorities. That's really important. I want to say thank you to the students who've been brilliant and given us some life-changing experiences this week. So I hope I haven't missed anyone out. Thank you very much, and look forward to a lunch, and we'll do our last bit.
In about 2 minutes, we will have the final word. That's right. The flying pod has to leave for about 2 minutes, and they'll be back.
And we're going to ask you to pod amongst yourselves.
Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen, the final word.
Oops.
Oh no.
There. Here we go. There we go.
Should be. If you're standing at the front of the side, stand at the side, then you count as then.
Okay, are we ready? Are we ready to?
Alright.
That side needs fun. There we go.
British Council called us quite some time ago. Said they'd like to make us help a link. Flew across to meet you in the summertime, and in bat together we began to think. Playing here, learning there, pods go on. Oh, la 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 la, pods go on. Learning here, sharing there, pods go on. Oh, la 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 la, pods go on. Sel and Swack went planning with their friends at home. New Frontiers and Leicester be on board. 12 head teachers volunteered to form the team, and when Helen came we all knew that we'd scored. Learning here, sharing there, pods go on. Oh, la la la, pods go on. Learning here, sharing there, pods go on. Oh, lifelong learning, pods go on. Limos brought the travellers from Pierre Trudeau. Jim was there to greet us with a smile. QPAP taught us all about the one approach, and when pods began to set out their own style. Learning here, sharing there, pods go on. Oh, la la la, pods go on. Learning here, sharing there, pods go on. Oh, lifelong learning, pods go on. We believe that learning is the key for all. Leaders, heads, and principals sustain. Working with each other for a common good. Inspiration, motivation, change. Learning here, sharing there, pods go on. Oh, lifelong learning, pods go on. Learning here, sharing there, pods go on. Oh, lifelong learning, pods go on. A team sets the standard for our learning skills. Phoenix burns the bright inclusion flame. Orchids seek the beauty in the inner child. See pods plant the vision and proclaim. Learning here, learning there, pods go on. Oh, lifelong learning, pods go on. Learning here, sharing there, pods go on. Lifelong learning, pods go on. Everyone has to sing the last verse. Special word in the last verse. Learning here, sharing there, a bientôt. Lifelong learning, pods go on. And again. Learning here, sharing there,
a bientôt.
Lifelong learning, pods go on. Oh,